I'm going to look now at the last of the misunderstood texts of the New Testament. At least they're not the only misunderstood texts of the New Testament, but this will be the last one that I'll be looking at. There's many more, obviously, and there can be real disagreement on interpretations and so on. But the ones I've chosen were the ones that continually come up amongst real Christians and that are either misquoted, misapplied, misunderstood, misinterpreted. And it's a striking thing. And it's something that I've run into again and again and again. And so this is why I've chosen the particular ones that I did. So there's only really a handful of them. And so this is the last one. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is another very common one. And it's important how we interpret this and understand this. So 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, the verse we're looking at, and I read the verses around it just to give a little context, the verse that we're looking at is verse 19 and 20, where it says that that Christ, or apparently, as some interpret it, went into the place of the departed spirits, and he preached the gospel to those who had died. In other words, Christ went to Hades, and some will say Christ went to hell, and he declared the gospel to the disobedient, almost in the sense of giving them another chance. And some interpret it differently. They say he preached to those there as a testimony to them, and so on. Or he went into hell or into Hades and took out the righteous saints that were had believed in times past and took them to heaven with him. And this, so there's all sorts of variations on this. But what Peter is talking about here is none of that at all. He's speaking about the days of Noah. He's using the flood as an example. In connection with the Jewish believers, he's addressing the Jewish believers in his epistle here, those who are scattered abroad from the persecutions that had occurred. And of course, it's clear he brings in the gospel, verse 21. He uses the like figure or type, whereunto even baptism now also saves. That is, the flood and the salvation of the eight individuals, Noah and his family on the ark, is a picture or a type of baptism. And so Noah was preserved from this. There was death all around and judgment all around, but he and his household were preserved. And so he's speaking to the Jewish believers here, how they were only a small remnant amongst the larger nation, and they had believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, but they were under persecution, you know, and they've been scattered, persecuted by their own people, spread across the land, and away from the temple. And of course, under those conditions, you know, doubt could creep in because they're simply the minority. The majority had not believed. And what Peter is saying, well, you know, in the days of the flood, there was only a few saved, only eight. And that's a picture of your situation. You had been baptized, you know, when the gospel was first preached to the Jewish people in Jerusalem after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You get in Acts 2 that Peter calls the people to repent, right? To be baptized, to separate themselves from this wicked generation. And they had done that. And now they were just a minority, just a small group. But that baptism is like that separation. They were now disconnected from the nation in that sense by taking the step of baptism. That's what it meant when Peter said, save yourselves from this wicked generation. So it's not salvation of soul that's being talked about here, because being baptized by water doesn't save our souls, but it saved them from the judgment that was going to come upon the people of Israel. Just like the ark saved the family of Noah, those who had entered into the ark. Picture of baptism. So that's a little of the background of this, what Peter's talking about. But when he says in verse 19 and 20, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which were sometimes disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, wherein a few, that is eight souls, were saved. What does it mean when he says he went in and preached unto the spirits which are in prison, those who were disobedient in the days of Noah? Well, the key here is the word the Spirit, or by the Spirit, or in the Spirit, you see, at the end of verse 18, being put to death in the flesh, because the Lord Jesus, he died, and he was raised again, but he was quickened or made alive by the Spirit. He was raised by the Spirit. We get that in Romans chapter 8, that just as the Holy Spirit raised up Jesus, he will quicken, or he will make alive our mortal bodies. We will be raised up like unto him. So he's speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that same power of the Holy Spirit, that the person of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, by this same Spirit, he also preached unto the spirits which are now in prison. In the days of Noah, they had been disobedient. You know, it says in Peter's, I believe it's the second epistle, he says, or he calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. And so Noah declared a gospel to them, to believe, to repent, to come into the ark. He preached to the people of the pre-flood world. It was not the Lord Jesus personally, but by the Spirit in Noah. The Spirit of Christ was in Noah, preaching to these people. They are now in prison. They're waiting for the day of judgment. That's what he says in verse 20, which sometime were disobedient. They were disobedient in the days of Noah, and God was very long-suffering towards them. 120 years, the ark was being prepared, and Noah was preaching while he was building the ark, okay? But it's by that Spirit, verse 19, by that Spirit he also went in. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ personally, but the Spirit of God in Noah. Now, I can give you a couple examples to sort of verify the correctness of this interpretation. If you look at chapter 1, for example, of 1 Peter, look at chapter 1, verse 11. It says, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, that's in the prophets, he's speaking of the prophets here, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. So he's speaking of the prophets, that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets, and that same Spirit in the prophets declared the sufferings of Christ and the glories that follow. It was not the Lord Jesus personally, but the Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of Christ. And it was through that Spirit of Christ that they preached about the coming Messiah, that he would suffer and die, that he would raise again, and that he would have a glorious kingdom following that. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them. Okay. There's another example, and that is in Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to turn back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, Paul says in verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God, that is both Jew and Gentile, reconcile them unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh, were near. So he preached peace. Christ, the He, in verse 16, that He might reconcile, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But so also is the preaching here. He's speaking up of Jesus. And he preached peace, not only to those that were near, that is the Jewish people, but also those that were afar off, that is the Gentiles. Well, when did he do that? He didn't preach to the Gentiles when he was here on earth. The Lord Jesus didn't preach to the Gentiles. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, he told the disciples, go not the way of the Gentiles. Preach not to the Gentiles, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His mission was to the people of Israel when he was on the earth. He was a minister, a servant for the circumcision, to verify the promises to the fathers. Paul says that in Romans chapter 14, I believe, maybe chapter 15. I think it's chapter 15. But he was a minister to the circumcision, to the Jews. It wasn't after his resurrection that he did it. No, after he went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit down, the apostles now are bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. It's the Holy Spirit speaking and preaching through the apostles to the Gentile nations. But he did it through his Spirit, through the apostles. Okay, it's pretty clear. So that's exactly what Peter is speaking about here. Jesus didn't go down into hell. Okay, I've heard all sorts of crazy stories about that. And some of them are totally heretical, that he went to hell and even suffered there to complete the atonement. No, the Lord Jesus never went to hell. In Luke's gospel, he told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Okay, but we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, I was caught up to paradise, to the third heaven, to paradise. So he didn't go down to hell. He didn't go to the place of the departed wicked spirits. You know, he went into the presence of God, just where Paul was caught up to. And we read about paradise also in Revelation. It's one of the promises to the overcomers that will inherit the paradise of God. It's the heavenly place that God has prepared for us. And that's where the Lord Jesus went when he died. And, you know, we have all sorts of, again, variations, interpretations, like there's two compartments, a compartment for the wicked dead, a compartment for the righteous dead, and they were side by side. And the Lord Jesus went into the compartment for the righteous dead and took the heaven with him. All of these types of interpretations. There's no compartments. The Bible doesn't speak of compartments. When Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, God didn't hatch them out of a compartment. Okay, he was with them, or they were with him, I should say, in heaven, in paradise, waiting for the resurrection. Same place we'll go when we die. Our spirits will go to be with Christ, which is far better. We're waiting for the resurrection of the body, the intermediate state, the state in between death and resurrection. And so the Spirit of Christ was in Noah. And in Noah, that preacher of righteousness, he was declaring the gospel to those disobedient ones. They were disobedient. They disobeyed that message. We get a similar thing in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, where he says in verse 5, who shall give an account of him that is ready to judge the quick, that is the living and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that the gospel is preached to people who are dead. They were dead when the gospel, they were alive when the gospel was preached to them, but they are now dead, waiting for the judgment. It will be a judgment of the living and a judgment of the dead. That's mentioned three times in the Bible. A judgment of the living and a judgment of the dead. I think Acts chapter 10 speaks of the judgment of the dead and the judgment of the living. I think Acts chapter 17 speaks of that as well. But this is the third occasion. I don't know if I have those references right, but I know Acts 10 speaks of the judgment of the living and the dead, or of the dead and the living, and here we get it as well. So the judgment of the living is at the coming of Christ in glory and his throne judgment here on the earth. But then 1,000 years after that, there will be a judgment of the dead. That's what Peter's speaking of here. But when they were alive, they heard the gospel. They're dead now. And so all these theories about Christ preaching to people who are dead, right? That he went somewhere to the place of the departed and declared to them the gospel. That's not in the Bible. And to me, it's heresy. The Lord Jesus didn't go to the dead, to the place of the dead. He went to the place of the living. He went to the presence of God at death and was raised again by that Spirit. That Spirit that quickened him, that raised him from the dead, is that same Spirit that preached the gospel through Noah to those disobedient ones who are now waiting for the day of judgment, for the judgment of the dead. May the Lord encourage you today. Keep to the scriptures. Study the scriptures. If you don't understand something, keep digging. Read the context. Read sound expositors of the word. For this particular passage, I recommend William Kelly. He has actually a book on preaching to the spirits in prison. Very good book. So that sort of ends this particular little playlist of the misunderstood verses of the New Testament. I may continue on with my Bible Bite random meditations as we go along. May the Lord encourage you today. Amen.